With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, they've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, news of the day. Stros are down 3-0 as Jake Odorizzi gave up an early home run there in the top of the third as they wrap up the homestand looking to sweep the Red Sox. Tonight you've got big games, Denver at Portland with the Blazers trying to stay alive, Denver trying to close them out. Same thing with Phoenix looking to close out the Lakers at Staples. Don't know if I've heard a definitive Anthony Davis. They said he's going to check it out and see how it feels. But LeBron's got it all on his shoulders tonight, so we'll see how that goes. Coach K said he's retiring for family reasons. And so there's that. And John Shire answers our question we debated yesterday, Nick. There will be no Bobby Hurley interview. There will be no other candidates, as they're saying that John Shire is coach in waiting that will be taking over for Coach K. I guess he was handpicked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you've been attached to a university that long, I imagine you can have some say in the event that you leave, or at least groom the next person coming up. And that's kind of how it works when you're attached to a company or a sports league. I mean,
but as a university, don't you have to
do due diligence?
The Rooney Rule? Don't you have certain hiring practices you have to go through?
That's a good question.
You know, I don't know that you should just be able to just go, you know what, this guy right here is our only candidate. He gets it.
Well, if they've already officially made him the next coach, then yeah, I would imagine that's breaking some rules. But I guess since they have not made him the official coach, and there's probably just a bunch of reporters wanting to be the first person to say, hey, it looks like it's going to be, even though they don't know for sure, because they could still interview a bunch of candidates from now until the end of his tenure there, and satisfy any potentially Rooney type rules that the college, athletics has. So as long as it's not official that he's taking over Coach K,
yeah,
I don't think they can get in trouble for that just yet.
It's interesting because he said that he believes in Shire's ability to lead Duke going forward. He was on the 2010 national title team as a player, had a brief professional career, then was a Duke assistant since 2014. And Krzyzewski said he's done everything, and in the last few years, we've taken it up to another level. He's one of the smartest coaches in the country, to be quite frank. No one knows that as much as I do, and the other assistants know it as well. One thing I will say about Coach K, bar just everything else from his players' perspective, he's done a phenomenal job of making sure that his players stay a part of his program. Currently with Shire and Nolan Smith, two guys that played for him are on his coaching staff. Wojciechowski, who was coaching Marquette, after being a longtime assistant, Jeff Capel, all the different guys that have played for him over the years, he's worked hard to make sure if they want to be an assistant coach, they can be on his staff. And when the time is right, he finds them other jobs. So kudos to him for that.
Yeah, great. I mean, that's how it happens sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, look, David Stern, I guess Adam Silver was just in the making, you know? He's just
handpicked.
You know what I mean? He was just in the making. So
now, there's also this weird thing. I mean, how many – did you see this, Nick? After decades being dormant, the USFL – is going to come back in 2022,
yeah,
and be the third non-NFL professional league. We know that The Rock has got the XFL.
Correct.
And then there's another bunch of investors that have that League of American Football or whatever that gibberish is they call it.
Right.
But now you're going to bring back the USFL, including trying to bring back all those franchises with their names and all that gear as they try and resurface. How many of these – I mean, look, I know for years I said – it'd be great if the NFL had kind of an in the United States minor league program like Major League Baseball does, yeah, like the G League does for the NBA. They tried that European League for a couple years. It didn't work out a whole really well. It would be great. We don't need three.
I'm with you. I think what they're all hoping for is that someone eventually gets bought out. Because think about it. If the NFL does get into some sort of feeder league or minor league system or farm system business, what's going to happen to all these leagues? They're going to get destroyed. It's just a matter of time. They have the money, they have the capital, and they have the resources to do it. So I think a part of it could be, yeah, I really want to be a person who runs a feeder league and develops talent and gets them to the big leagues and gets them to get paid. I believe there's people out there that genuinely have that in their intentions, in their heart, right? Uh-huh. And then I think there's some owners out there that want to just grow this business, and maybe, just maybe, someone out there with a lot of money is willing to buy that entire business from them for them for a lot of money, and they can just go home right off to the sunset and retire.
I hear what you're saying, right? But the last time they did it, it wasn't being groomed as a spring league, and you had real prominent names to make it worth watching. You had Reggie White, Herschel Walker, Jim Kelly, Steve Young, so much so that Donald Trump wanted to be an owner with the New Jersey Generals. You had teams that said, you know what, I want a part of this because, to your point, we can make money off of this because we can compete with the NFL if we've got big names. I guarantee you that their outlook on this is not like the initial USFL. They're looking to try and stay afloat, entertain some people that are jonesing for football in the spring, and maybe catch some people in their fields in smaller markets that used to have a USFL team or going, hey, we'd love to do this again, like Memphis, Portland, teams like that. I don't know where it all goes, but I just...
Could you imagine if there's like an NFL G League or something like that right now? Like, why would you need any of these leagues right now? And you're right. They did promote it as... like at least the XFL, because one of them was a buddy of yours. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but he worked for the XFL and he joined us at Twin Peaks on the road when he was one of the executives, I think, from either the Roughnecks or from the league.
He was the Roughnecks, Brian.
Yeah, and so he was saying, no, this is our own separate entity. This is our own separate league and everything else. And what happened? When their quarterback got an opportunity to go to the NFL. So even though they groom it or they paint the picture that it's not a feeder league, that it's not a minor league system, all those players have one goal in mind, and that's to get into the NFL. Now, there might be some players out there that are realistic with their skill set, and they know they're good enough to play in a league like the USFL or the XFL, but not quite good enough to play in the NFL, and maybe that's their way of life. They want to live. They're not making that much money, but they're making okay money, and they get to play a game that they love. I can see that dynamic exists, but let's not question the reality, and the reality is these players want to get promoted, and they want to leave that league, and they want to get into the NFL and get a roster spot.
Now, here's the thing, though, Nick. I mean, how many of these leagues do we need? Because we know that the XFL has also said they want to play in the spring. Okay? So now you're going to have a surplus of talent. Now, the XFL has had chats with the Canadian Football League about possibly trying to join forces.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We only need so many teams. We don't want to be oversaturated, right? We're jonesing for football after the Super Bowl, and we want one option. We had two a year ago, and Brian Michael Cooper was the president you're talking about.
Sorry about that. I used to work with.
Yeah, no, and I had to look up his last name. But even then, we saw that with huge success in Houston for their team, unless it's league-wide, the league's not going to flourish. It's not going to succeed, and that's one league. Now we're talking about two, possibly three, because the rumors are that the Canadian Football League looking to try and join forces with the XFL. USFL, eight teams minimum. They want to come in and get their piece of the pie. Well, it's one thing to say football fans want football. They don't need two or three leagues of football.
Yeah. And doesn't the CFL still enforce that three down rule?
It's weird. And the end zones are bigger.
I don't like it. It's weird for me. I'm just too used to the NFL. And the other thing is, if you're an NFL executive, if you're a general manager for a team, you're kind of not doing your job if you're not looking at these leagues and hoping you can scout some potential talent
for your
team.
You got to scout them, Nick, but at a certain point, when does the talent pool get watered down? Because
it's possible.
It's one thing to say with eight teams, hey, if I send my scouts to these four games a week, I'm going to see the best that this league has to offer so that I can analyze it and evaluate it and see if I can find some guys. But if I'm talking about three separate leagues where I've got to have scouts at all these games and watch all these different leagues perform, I'm not so sure that I'm not getting watered down talent that I don't need to see.
Yeah. It's true.
And then that's just from a player. That's from the actual quality of play. Now, we're also talking about, as you mentioned, franchises trying to make money. It's one thing if you're competing for your off-season market for football fans in, say, Memphis, Portland, Cleveland, wherever. But now, from a TV rights perspective, from all the attention that they're getting from websites and media markets, it's not as easy when you're competing with two and three other leagues. Hey, look at us. We got football. Well, we do too.
Yeah. And that's probably why both of them want to kick off so quickly, because they want that competitive advantage. You know, they want to be up out there first, get as many players signed, make sure they have a big talent pool. Right. That's probably why they're all rushing back. With everything getting back to 100% capacity, they're probably just trying to rush back. So it looks like they're going to come back. And I think Fox Sports is the partner, by the way.
Of which one?
Of USFL. And so that's going to be interesting, too, to see how Fox Sports and their ratings and how they deal with that, considering it's just
Wasn't they one of the three partners also for the XFL?
It could have been. I just know for sure that I read it was on USFL. Okay. It could be for both. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But if you guys are lacking football in your life after the Super Bowl, lack no more, as the talent might be lacking, but the opportunities to watch football will still be there. We're still going to be here all the way up until 4 o'clock, where we have lots to get to. We've got, and I don't know, we'll find out who's filling in on the blitz. But we've got Astros still down 3-0 going to the bottom of the third. We can get to some updates on that, talk some Astros. We got NBA playoffs this evening, as we can talk about that. We talked a little bit about the Rockets and Matt Bullard and the broadcast team. We can talk about the team itself, the first-round picks they may or may not have, and some interesting things I heard in the last 24 hours as well, Nicholas, that I will share with you.
Okay.
Lots to get to as we continue to roll through hour number two of the program. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter. Nick and Joel, together, the Press Box, ESPN.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FM. All you got to do is say your mic.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you hear him out there for me?
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Hour number two, three-hour show, as Nick and myself take you till 4. Do we know who's filling in on the blitz today? Tomorrow, we already told you.
I'm assuming Fred and AJ is doing the show.
No, they're on vacation. AJ was tweeting
today
out.
Today, too?
Yeah, AJ was tweeting out some picture of some dude sitting on a inner tube in a pool going, yeah, right, I'm on vacation
for
a week. Okay, we'll find out. I see Raybold's in the studio. I'll figure it out. I've told all the interns I want their names.
And?
And the guy who screwed up on the name of Matt Fuller looked like he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Did he?
Yeah. He already looks like Christmas Story kid. The kid from Christmas Story?
He did look like somebody.
You know what? The kid that puts his tongue on the pole?
Oh, he does look
like
that kid.
Just like that kid.
He
does
look like that kid.
So I go, I want all your names. And he's like, wait, what? Why? And I go, don't ask questions. I just want all the names. By next break. Like, this is the toughest challenge he's going to have as an intern to try and round up all four names.
Oh, my God. He does look like that kid.
I told you. What's
the kid's
name? He needs
to wear the glasses,
yeah,
though.
He's got the glasses on.
He does have the glasses.
Yes. He looks just like the kid.
What's this kid's name?
What was his name in the movie?
Ralphie?
Ralphie.
Ralphie from...
I don't need his name now. He's now Ralphie. You know, like Will Doctor? Oh, and I thought Will was a doctor. Well, Ralphie. Ralphie and Will and Matt Fuller.
He does look exactly like him. Now we got to tweet out a side by side.
Okay. And you're not good at texting. Here's the thing. The Astros are bumming me out, Nick. We talked about the fact Anoli Paredes is already on the mound, which means that Odorizzi's day is done.
He did bad.
So they're still in the third inning, and Odorizzi's
Top of the fourth.
Okay, wow. Top of the fourth, sorry. And it's 3-0 Red Sox, and Odorizzi's day is done. I hate seeing that.
Not good.
No, not good there, so we'll get into some positive things. Although I did want to talk about this. So we know from a Rockets perspective that they're going to be looking for someone on the broadcast. We also know, whether you know it or not, before they even have the draft lottery, that two of the three first-round picks that they're going to have been decided. So as much as you were hoping for this plethora of picks that you got as the part of the James Harden trade or the P.J. Tucker trade or the Robert Covington trade, we're going to be all these high, great, fantastic picks. You got number 23 and 24 in the first round, and you're either going to get a top four pick or you're getting 18 from Miami. So you're either going to have 18, 23, and 24, or you're going to have top four, 23 and 24. Well, does that excite you?
No, it doesn't. We know how the NBA draft works. It's very top heavy these days. And look, I'm not saying that one of these players can't pop off on one of these draft picks, but you have to understand, now you've really got to be savvy. You really got to be studying. You really got to know what the available talent is, because you really have to evaluate who the best possible option is. And quite frankly, it's just really difficult when you're that deep into the first round, that low into the first round. I mean, it just makes things difficult. So it's up to your boy, Rafael Stone and company, to do the proper studying and scouting.
They better. And
make sure they make the right picks.
Boy, I got killed for not liking your song. Joel is so crabby. This song effing rocks. Joel, break out of your routine, because it was, what do they call that music?
EDM, I think.
Yeah. No, I got someone questioned because I don't like, look, I don't tell you what music you should like. I don't tell you what food to eat. Don't worry about what I like. And by the way, if you guys buy into all this as reality for how we really are when we're not on the air sometimes, it's on you.
Yeah. 100%.
So I was interested. So here's the thing, Nick. I'm okay with the Rockets situation pick-wise, even if they don't get a top four pick, if you can package them. If you can package a couple of them, and it can end up getting you the pick that you want. But more importantly than that, kind of to what you said, more importantly than that is target guys you need. What was great about Daryl, whether you see his shortcomings and don't like him or not, what he was able to do was he was able to pinpoint guys that would help this roster. He got second-round picks that were Chandler Parsons, or you look at the history of Rockets second-round picks that panned out, which was Carl Landry, Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
You know, they got some good ones. And so even guys, you look at, they ended up using him as trades, but like you drafted Dylan Brooks of Memphis. You also drafted DeAndre Melton of Memphis. That's now both key players for the Grizzlies. So you can evaluate talent. That's what the Rockets have to be focused on right now to get better. You have to be able to evaluate talent because this draft is hyper important. It's the difference between a rebuild that could go 3 to 5 years or 5 to 7.
Do they draft, like just like you mentioned, you think it's a possibility? Well, okay, they take this first round draft pick. Maybe they develop them into a good enough player that brings enough value to get something else. Or do you think they just stick to this whole developing process in which you just get a bunch of young players and develop them on, keep them on the team and hope that they grow into a really good team? Look, at some point, I'm sure you're going to lose some of these draft picks. Not all of them are going to pan out. Not everybody pans out, and not everybody's going to be a good fit with all the numbers. You know, yeah. So I don't know. But I tell you what, if they do pick somebody and he turns out to be a really good player, then you look good. You look like a really good team at that point. But you have to be really, really savvy with your pick, and I just don't know if we can trust that right now.
Well, and I think the other thing, Nick, is the fact that you look at the complexion of the Western Conference. It used to be that it didn't take much for you to be able to say, hey, you're going to be a top four team. You're going to be a team that competes. You're a team that's a playoff team. And it was pretty cut and dried. The eight best teams in the West were these teams. The four or five best teams for best record or for home floor would be these teams. And you go. Well, now, even the teams teetering on the outside looking in, like a Memphis, like, you know, some of the in the play-in. New Orleans didn't make it, but with Zion and all the young talent they got, that you got to believe they're just going to get better. So it's not just about, like, how do you turn the corner? It's the road just got a whole lot tougher to becoming a team that people want figure you got to reckon with.
Look, what do you think they're going to possibly get?
Here's what I'll tell you.
Is it going to be a guard, do you think? Is it going to be a
forward?
Well,
you think about what you got. Let's just look at the roster. What do you got? You got Christian Wood for at least 2 more years. You probably want him to stick around. So you're probably not drafting a power forward.
They're viewing him as a power forward center.
Right. So you could look at a center as well to complement him, but I'm sure that they have dreams and aspirations of bringing Olynyk back because he was a good complement. Okay, now you've got Porter Jr., and you've got KJ Martin. You've got young pieces that you would assume Porter Jr. is going to play the two, because John Wall, again, is going to be here for two more years unless you do something drastic, which I can't see Tillman just wanting to eat, like, a major portion of his salary,
maybe,
give it to him and tell him to go
John
away.
Maybe John Wall doesn't, maybe he has intentions of not picking up that last year. That way he goes and wins a championship with someone. How do you know John Wall doesn't have the same mentality that Chris Paul has? Didn't he make similar money?
I don't know that, but of the two, Nick, do you think John Wall's walking from 40? I don't. Because of the two,
I don't know his situation.
Who has a chance to get a decent amount of money in another contract? I would say Chris Paul, yes. Not that he's going to get 40, but he'll get decent money. I don't think a whole lot of teams are touching John Wall for any kind of money with what he's coming off of surgically.
Chris Paul will probably get in the high 20s, maybe even low 30s with one of the
years.
Depends
on the team. If it's the Lakers, he's not getting that, but he's getting a chance to win a ring.
That's true. That's true. So even though he's eligible for about $130 million, depending on the team that he plays for, they're probably not going to give him that number. Because $130 puts you about what? 30s at 3 years? That puts you more than 30. He's still making a killing. If he gets that deal, he's still making a killing amount of money, like a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again,
but
how
again,
much is too
you're
much,
right.
Right.
You're right. If you're the Lakers, though, you're not paying him that, and you shouldn't. You
right.
shouldn't.
Right. And you shouldn't. I don't think you have to either, because I think at that point, he just accepts the fact he's trying to win a title. Now, here's the other question I wanted to bring up on the NBA topic before we switch gears to anything else. And we've covered quite a bit with baseball and football with the XFL and everything. We talked about it a year ago in the bubble, and it was a strange set of circumstances. But why isn't anybody talking about the fact that you took 10 less games? So instead of an 82, you played 72 game schedule plus a play-in tournament, right? And you condensed it. Has anybody not made the correlation yet? If you look at the playoffs, which is your prime time, which is what you want, is the best players on the stage at the biggest time playing great games. Because I know Charlie had mentioned the games haven't been great so far. Part of the reason why is when you look across the league, CP3's hurt, AD's hurt, Embiid's hurt, the Celtics' whole team seems hurt, Luka hurt with his neck. Something with this condensed schedule did not sit right with all these players. We kid about and we get tired of all of the load management. But right. at the same time, when you look at it now, at the time when you want all these teams healthy and all the best players on the floor, I just rattled off an all-star team that's either not playing or limited in the way they can play, and that's not what you want.
No, and dude, there's a bunch of variables here. Remember, it may not just be that. It could be that. It could be a massive contributing factor. That's why these injuries are happening. But the pandemic all around has changed the routine of these players completely. From working out to where they stay to who they're interacting with. You got to remember, some of these players like to get a little something on the side. But if they get caught in public, it's not just the fact that they got caught either cheating on their spouse or whatever the case may be, but it's also because they're in the public in the middle of the pandemic. Everything has changed from a routine standpoint for all these NBA players. So it's hard to just, for me, to just pinpoint it on the 72-game season or the reduced season. But I do think it's a massive factor, no question, because it does change your routine.
I'm surprised more people aren't talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, we actually talked about it a little bit when the season was like popping back
right.
off, because we saw like ACL tears
right.
and all that other stuff. But you're right. No one's really talking about it now.
We were talking about it the first time, Nick. We were talking about it because of the short turnaround time.
Correct.
The season just ended, and in no time at all, they were ready to play again. But now we're talking about it because, yeah, it's only 10 less games in the regular season, but it's also condensed in terms of the amount of time they had to get them in. And now you're watering down your product, because no one wants to see a Laker team without AD and or LeBron. No one wants to see this exciting Suns team if it doesn't have Chris Paul. No one wants the Mavs with Luka walking around with his ear touching his shoulder because his neck is all out of whack.
That's so crazy, man. The neck injury is like, that's got to be uncomfortable. I don't know how you play basketball with a neck injury.
Or the Celtics, Jaylen Brown completely out. Kemba Walker essentially out. The big kid, Robert Williams, out. I mean, you keep looking at all these guys going, that's not, I would say that team, the Celtics should beat that team or compete with that team, but I can't say that when you got all these guys sitting on the side. It's so, I think the NBA really has to look at that. And obviously going forward, we hope it's not a problem anymore because they can get back to their regular schedule and the regular time frame. But we'll see how that plays out. 90 in the books. Still got 90 to go. So second half of the show is on the horizon. And you guys can be a part of it. By the way, did you catch that Myles Garrett is retiring? We're going to have to talk about that as we get to the second half of the show. And a whole lot more. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back. Second half of the program. That means 90 in the books, 90 still to go. You don't have to be a math major to be a part of this show. The boxers are lined up. We got a new stable of boxers, whether they like it or not, because they signed up for our intern program. We love our interns around here.
We do.
So we always want to give them credit because Barry's not with us anymore, so that the torture of the intern program has been put to bed. And we are pro-intern. So,
you know what I kind of want to do? The guy you've dubbed...
Well, we're going to get to him last. He deserves to be last.
I kind of want to bring him in.
Ooh.
And do a side-by-side by putting the Ralphie kid picture up. And let's see if you're... I mean, let the people judge.
Well, so everybody needs to know, whatever his name is, which I will may or may not divulge to you guys. Once you make a mistake like putting on our board for me to mention on the air that the caller wants to talk about, instead of Matt Bullard, Matt Fuller... That name Fuller is now going to be associated with you in some way, shape, or form. And when you look like Ralphie from Christmas Story, I don't care what your name is. I just told him, as long as you're in 97.5 Studios, you are now going to be Ralphie Fuller. So, listeners, let me introduce you the next time you call to Ralphie Fuller. Please don't anticipate that he will get your name right, the subject right, or tell us what you want to talk about, but we welcome him to the program. Anna Peterson, Morgan Grace, Cam Davis. We appreciate you guys, and we welcome you to the Gal family
as Absolutely.
You learn some things about broadcasting. Whether for better or worse, we hope you learn some things.
I really want to get Ralphie in. I really want to get Ralph. Maybe not this segment, maybe the next hour.
He's going to... He when I told him I just wanted all their names, he looked like he was going to... He needed an adult diaper. So
he looked that nervous. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're worried of him like him possibly having an accident when he's sitting right next to you.
He might freeze up.
Well, he can freeze, but as long as he doesn't have an accident while he's sitting next to you. But in some you would kind of deserve it in the event that he did have an accident.
Why me?
Because you're the type of guy that likes to rip ass and leave.
No, I haven't done that in forever. And by the way, I'm the one that came up with the ingenious name, which you agree with.
100%. Okay. And he has the glasses, which I didn't realize.
How do you not realize someone's wearing glasses?
I will forget easily. If I look at you and you're wearing glasses, I might not even remember that you're wearing glasses. You know, that's how that happens.
Yeah, I noticed that. And that's a characteristic that I think you got. That's a character flaw you need to work on.
It's probably true. But shout out to the intern. So Myles Garrett is retiring? What?
So Myles Garrett retiring. And before you Browns fans, A&M fans, and Myles Garrett fans lose your bleeping minds, let me tell you what I mean by that. If you missed it, about a week or so ago on social media, some video surfaced of Myles Garrett playing some pickup ball at the local gym and just dominating. Dunking over people, blocking shots, active all over the place. Well, that'd be fine and dandy if he was a guy trying to audition for the Rockets, the G League, or make a career of that. But he already has a very well-paying career with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And let me remind you of things like Jeff Kent's motorbike accident he tried to hide, and so many others in which athletes that have a contract to do something athletically start screwing around doing other things, and bad things can happen. So therefore, the Cleveland Browns have stepped in, and they've basically told Myles Garrett, who's told the world, I'm retiring from basketball.
Stavinsky says, quote unquote, he retired. And then he goes, so congratulations on a great career for Myles. Really proud of him. But he's done. I'm sure when they saw that video of him just dominating them on the court, they went crazy. They went absolutely crazy. And nothing, nothing makes a front office more nervous than a key player playing sports outside the sport that they're supposed to be like being paid for, you know?
So Kevin Stefanski, coach of the Browns, now former offensive coordinator of the Vikes, is who Nick's talking about, who said that about Garrett after the video surfaced. But here's the thing I find interesting, Nick. When I took Lisa to her first Packer game, and we had friends in the organization, and they gave us a tour, there's a full basketball court right off the locker room in Green Bay. And I believe in most facilities for NFL teams, the Texans obviously do not, but I believe that there's a lot of facilities that have a gym. I asked at the time, and they said it's not uncommon for not only the coaches but the players to play pickup ball in and around like off-season workouts and other things.
Yeah,
I would think you're encouraging it if you have the facilities and the resources right there, and you don't see it and put an end to it. I'm with you. If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I see that video and I know how much we're paying and how much we need Myles Garrett on the edge on our defensive pass rush and otherwise, I don't want him playing hoops.
And look, maybe if for some weird reason you're an NFL coach and you want your players to be involved in some sort of workout and it's a pickup game, but let's say you don't go 100%, I guess that's okay. Perhaps it helps a football player. But the way he was playing, he was just having too much fun dunking on people. Like, even if they did include a basketball pickup game as a workout for a football team, I don't know if they would want them dunking and penetrating to the basket and playing hard defense and taking a charge. You know what I mean? I think they would just want them running around and doing something a little bit different and just keeping up the stamina. So, yeah, I mean, I can see it. Look, and this happens in all sports. Donald Cerrone is a guy that was very, I mean, when it comes down to an adrenaline rush,
He'll
do anything. And it would make Dana White super, super, super nervous. So I can see this happen in multiple leagues across. But the video is pretty interesting if you want to check it out. I thought, you know who he looks like?
He compared his retirement, by the way, to MJ. He said, I'm going to go back to what I'm really good at, like when Michael went back to basketball.
Oh, get out of here.
But he goes, in a year or so, I might revisit basketball, baseball, who knows?
Maybe he was just...
He is tongue-in-cheek.
Tongue-in-cheek. But you know what he looks like? Not from, like, the face, but just from, like, from his body, from his neck down. The Justice kid that we were talking about that was 14 years old or going as a freshman in high school and is, like, 6'5", 265 pounds. That's what he looks like. Like, that kid that's in ninth grade kind of has a Myles Garrett build to him.
Myles Garrett looks massive in
that. He looks like a mammy.
Video. Yeah. Like he's definitely not skipping his workouts and his weightlifting sessions.
He can't be because I met him at the Heisman thing at Verizon. He was not that big.
No, I met him his senior year at A&M when we did a live broadcast from the press box up there. And dude's massive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's clearly developed and he's clearly hitting the gym because he's way bigger than when he was with Texas A&M. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No more basketball, sir.
No more hoop du jour for you, sir. Yeah. You are cut off. But it was a fun story nonetheless. And it was entertaining to see him hoop. And I'm trying to think of, like, who are some of the more famous? Jeff Kent's the one locally that everybody knows that he lied about it. He tried to say he was doing something else. They found out he was doing dirt bike racing, and that's how he...
Oh, really?
And he flipped his cycle and hurt his arm and his wrist or whatever.
Yeah, people do that. I remember Michael Jordan when he broke his ankle. He was, like, playing hoops behind the Bulls' backs, and they were terrified that Michael Jordan was doing that.
But you know why this is a bigger deal now? Is I think it was the Broncos recently that are filing suit and threatening not to play one of their players, not to pay one of their players, because most teams say we want you to stay in shape during the off season, but they're, you know, some
certain activities are off limits.
Sometimes you don't, but because one of their offensive linemen got hurt with a non-football related activity working out on his own, they don't want to pay him.
I can see
that's why that could be a bigger deal for Myles Garrett. He should probably thank the Browns for getting involved now before an injury happens, because I'm sure whatever that lineman's not getting paid or could risk not getting paid by the Broncos is peanuts compared to the millions and millions of dollars Myles Garrett's getting.
Yeah, and look, that's what it says in their they'll have a clause in the contract about, and I think they'll list the activities of what they're not allowed to do during the off season, considering they're in a professional athlete being paid by a professional team. You can't do that. You can't just do whatever you want once you get a paycheck from a professional team. There's rules. So, but it was kind of cool watching him play basketball.
Someone said, and that's great, on text line, they're right. One of the other ones was Correa's injury. We never really found out, was it an injury from a massage therapist or what he was doing and how he did it. And that was a big controversial thing as well. Someone else brought up another good one. Madison Bumgarner had that ATV or motorcycle accident. Again, This is what the teams are trying to prevent. They're not trying to be crotchety, get off my lawn team. They're trying to protect their investment. If you're going to invest millions and millions of dollars in one of your players, you damn sure want to make sure they're playing. So, and the bullpen's in, Nick, so the Astros not looking anywhere near the way I wanted them to. By the way, Fred, don't call me a junkie Fowler. It was listening to the program, and he was genuinely kind enough to let us know that the one, the only, Patrick Creighton will be solo flying in the blitz chairs today.
So I don't know about solo. Is it these still?
It's
Fred
just him and Aaron.
Oh, okay.
So it's Creighton and Aaron, according to Mr. Raybould as well, which I went down the hall and checked with. And then tomorrow, Moneyline will be joining us from Beaumont as we hit the 409.
Cool.
At 5 under. So that's cool, the first couple of days of replacements for the blitz as they enjoy some time off. We get down to Beaumont. We're going to take a break. Before we do that, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health again, because look, it says men's health in the title, but it's for men and women. And if you guys are looking to get that energy back from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom that you thought you can't get to feeling like you once did in your 20s and 30s again, well, maybe you can. And all it takes is the good people at Apollo Men's Health. They have hormone therapy for men and women. And it starts with the men when you're starting to talk about the weekly visits, they can teach you how to do it and administer the hormone therapy at home, or you can do it once every 6 months with cutting edge pellet testosterone therapy. Regardless, it's going to have you feeling great again. You can get B12 shots, have your blood pressure checked, do some blood work every week, every couple weeks like I do, just to make sure you're on the right path. Or if you're looking for a full workout program, you want to do a body composition analysis, and then you want to recover quicker, they have answers to all your questions and results for all of your diagnoses. All it starts with is a first appointment. You make that first appointment, and they take it from there. ApolloMH.com. You're going to find out most insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. You mentioned my name and ESPN Radio, and you're going to get a free B12 shot on your first visit. And just let them see what they can do for you, because I'm guaranteeing you that you're going to feel better than you did before you checked in with them, and it's going to make a difference in your life. It's good people doing great things. It's good people at Apollo Men's Health.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour program. It is Nick and myself taking you all the way up until 4. Patrick Creighton is filling in for the blitz today. As he'll take you from 4 to 7. Patrick Creighton filling in on the blitz for Fred Nasia. All right, guys. So what he's going to be giving away is what we're going to be talking about. Father's Day is coming up, so get Dad some roses. That's as in 4 Roses Bourbon Whiskey. To help celebrate, ESPN 97.5 and the Blitz are having a Father's Day tasting event hosted by Fred and AJ, featuring 4 Roses Bourbon Whiskey. You tune into the Blitz today. They're going to be giving away spots to the event on Wednesday, June the 16th. That's the event. They're giving away spots today. The event is Wednesday, June the 16th. Don't try and win if you can't go on the 16th. And realize that you have to win one of these spots to get to attend. So listen to the Blitz for your chance to win. And give some love to my man, Patrick Creighton, on the Blitz today. ESPN 97.5.
He doesn't really take the same shots at you.
Nor should he.
Like you take shots at him.
Yeah. I love P. Crate. And I'm wondering if he's going to actually do late hits as well.
I can see him do. Dude, he's done 5 hours already. Yeah. I've seen him do it. So he can
sleep. And we can still hear him.
He can totally do it.
Thankfully, Christian Javier got out of a jam that he self-inflicted. It's still 3-0 Red Sox as the game progresses at Minute Maid Park. We've talked a little bit about that today.
Also, if you don't know, Kent Emmanuel, season-ending surgery, UCL. Not a big loss, but kind of a big loss, I guess.
Kind of. Could have been. Again, we don't know because we didn't see enough of him. What we did see of him for 8 2/3 innings in his first major appearance was massively important, and then it just kind of deteriorated from there. So we'll have to wait till at least, do I say next year? I don't know how long it's going to take because the UCL, the ulnar collateral ligament, I mean, that's Tommy John surgery. That's probably at least a year from now we could possibly see him back.
Yeah. I mean, he'll probably be back late 2022, right?
Yeah, that's a tough break, man.
That is a tough break for the guy, man. I mean, even if he doesn't pan out, it's still not an ideal situation for any pitcher, especially getting suspended by something that he felt like wasn't justifiable, but he is no longer with the team and will have to be
operated upon.
Yep, he'll have to go under the knife.
So. Now, Nick, first of all, I have to ask you, where are you on koozies? Do you use them?
I don't. If you provide me with one, I'll use it, but I don't have to go out of my way to carry a koozie. Although in Texas, I see a lot of people that go to bars, and they'll carry their little bottle koozie with the zipper on it, and they'll go to the bar and they'll use their own koozie. And this is pre-pandemic.
Now, what about if it was a shoozie, Nick?
What?
So, under the category of why, Miller Lite has announced the shoozie. It's a beer koozie made from a New Balance shoe. And I'm not kidding you. I'm going to retweet this. I'm not kidding you when I tell you it looks like all the different, it has a sole, it has the New Balance N, it has, you know, the back with the little tab where you can pull it on easier. It's got all these different things for a koozie. I don't use them as it is, but I definitely don't want to be toting around a shoozie.
I feel like this is more of a collectible more than anything else, right? Like, why the hell would you need a shoozie? And I don't know exactly how big it is, but looking at it from the commercial, it looks pretty big. Like, I wouldn't want to carry a beer that way is my point. I would rather have...
Well, it looks cumbersome, right?
Yeah. I don't understand why that's necessary other than it being a gimmick and them wanting to sell a whole bunch.
So, according to Miller Lite, with Father's Day quickly approaching and you're stressing over what to get Dad for that special day, you should get him the shoozie. It's made with a rubber sole, breathable leather. The cozy features the same material used in New Balance shoes. The same non-cosmetically appealing look, too, by the way.
Yeah,
New Balance
does not look good at all.
Short of Charlie's Mall Walkers, New Balance shoes are not attractive.
It looks just like something Charlie Polillo would wear, 100%.
You had to pay Kawhi Leonard a lot of extra money to get him to wear a shoe that nobody wants. Miller Lite shoesies are said to be identical to the New Balance 624 trainer, just designed for a beer. Well, last time I checked, the beer's not going to go and run trails or lift weights or do other things that you would do in a New Balance training shoe, like walk the mall. Why do you need that for a koozie? As long as it keeps my beer cold, I don't care.
And honestly, when you talk about cans, and this might be the alcoholic side of me.
Possibly.
I don't need a koozie for, like, I will.
No, you drink it fast enough, you don't need it, right?
I will, yeah, like, the fluid barely touches my teeth. I will just, it takes like 30 seconds for me to down a can of
beer. Is that what you say at all times?
All the time.
I believe that. If you are hearing Nick and I speak about this, though, and a light goes on and a bell rings, and you think, this is what I need to get my dad, please visit theshoozie.com on Father's Day to enter for a chance to win one.
Look, if you're a big fan of Miller Lite, you've been drinking it for years. It's your go-to beer. You don't sheer away from it. Maybe this is a good little gift idea. For me, I'm not a big fan.
Are you speaking to the people of Wisconsin, Nick? Because once you're weaned off the nipple, you go right to Miller products. Because
Always. That
is the brand of choice for the beer capital of the world in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, look, I did not know that.
Well,
but,
I'm here to tell you.
But maybe they prioritize these states. By like maybe Wisconsin is up there in terms of availability for these koozies or shoesies, I should say.
Yeah.
They do look like something Charlie Polillo would wear for sure. No question.
Like, and who put, were you going to put that on the bar and be proud of it?
And what if people confuse it for a shoe?
It's just dumb.
They're like, are you putting a shoe on the bar, bro?
Yeah, I just don't understand like the concept of what, again, a koozie is made to keep your beer cold. It is not made to run a marathon. That's why I don't get the collaboration and all the extra work and material necessary, but have at it. If that's something that you guys are interested in, it's right there for the contest. I don't think you can take it, but feel free to have at it and check it out. Give it a crack. See what you can get out of it. What we're getting out of it for you is 2 hours of programming. That means we still got an hour to go on the show. Final hour, 60 minutes on the clock. Lots more to get to, including your calls, texts, and conversation as we continue to roll till 4 o'clock and turn it over to Pete Crate for the Blitz. But we'd love to have you stick and stay right exactly where you are. It is the Press Box. It's ESPN.
Is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.